You know those game shows where they have the doors and prizes behind them? Imagine if they opened the first door and it just had these five words: empty, slave, humbled, obedient, death. And the host says, "Well, would you like to take this one, or would you like to see what's behind door number two?" Right? Who of us is going to choose that? Who of us would want what's behind door number one? Jesus did. Of all the things that he could have chosen, those were what he did choose. We hear this in this beautiful hymn in St. Paul's letter to the Philippians. It's called the Kenosis Hymn, which means the hymn about his self-emptying. This is said in the context of St. Paul trying to encourage the Christians about how to treat one another. He's begging them. He says, "Brothers and sisters, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any solace in love, any participation in the Spirit, any compassion and mercy," right? So what do we say? If you care for me at all, if you're interested at all in my good, right? That's how we beg, right? "Do this one thing, please." St. Paul says, "Complete my joy by being of the same mind, with the same love, united in heart, thinking one thing." Okay. Well, those things we know clearly are difficult for us to, as any community, whether that's a family or a church or a city, to have the same mind, to love the same things, to be united in heart. How do we do that? I think St. Paul is trying to tell us in the next sentence when he says, "Do nothing out of selfishness or out of vain glory." Right? Don't do the things to set yourself apart, to set yourself above others. Right? That inevitably leads to division, leads to conflict. Rather, humbly regard others as more important than yourselves, each looking out not for his own interests, but also for those of others. This is one of the clearest definitions of what love is. This is basically what St. Thomas Aquinas took from when he said, "To love is to will the good of the other as other," right? So for their own sake, not for what we can get out of them. To regard them as more important than ourselves. To look out not for our own interests first, but for theirs. That is what it means to love. In other words, Paul says, have in you the same attitude that is also in Christ Jesus. Okay, so have the same way of being in the world as Jesus did. And this is when he launches into this hymn. Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. Right, so Jesus is one with the Father from all eternity. He is God. And yet, he does not grasp for equality with God. Who is it that first grasped? Who is it that first reached for something? It was Adam and Eve, right? As they ate of the tree, they were grasping to be like God. And Jesus, though he is God, though he is equal with the Father, chooses not to grasp. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, coming in human likeness and found human in appearance. So though he is equal with God, he comes to empty himself, to become like us. And what are we like? Well, what's implied here is that slavery is our condition. After the fall, this is the human state, this is the human condition. We are enslaved to sin. He has taken on the form of a slave by taking on our humanity, we who are bowed down by the weight of sin. He humbled himself, right? He became low. He became like the earth, right? That's what the word in its origin means, humbled. It means like the dirt, right? So he humbles himself, becoming obedient to the point of death. Empty, slave, humbled, obedient, dead. That's his list, and that's not the worst of it, actually, because he is obedient even to death on the cross. The most shameful death, the death of the criminal. The death that's a spectacle for the rest of the world. So we see through this hymn that it has this structure, that it begins recognizing that Jesus is God, he's equal with God, and yet he empties himself, he becomes a slave in our human likeness, and he is obedient even to the point of death, even to the cross. But the rest of the hymn has the structure of building back up. Because of this, God greatly exalted him. In other words, raised him up. He who humbled himself was raised up and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. Right? The one who was a symbol of shame on the cross is now a name that is recognized and glorified. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend. The slave is the one who bends down to wash the master's feet. But now Jesus, who became a slave, every knee bends to him. Those in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord. The one who had become obedient is the Lord, to whom all owe their obedience, to the glory of God the Father. The one who emptied himself, became a slave, was humbled, obedient, and died, is the one who is exalted and above all, who is honored, who is named Lord, and who is glorified. St. Paul says this is the attitude that is to be ours as Christians, and this is the way to true unity as a community of believers. So someone might hear all this and say, okay, Father, well, what are you saying exactly? Are you asking me to aim lower? And the answer is yes, I am. Okay, aim lower. But not in the sense of not putting into use the gifts that God has given to us, right? Jesus gave us that parable about the talents, right? He does not desire for us to bury them in the ground, but to use them not for our glory, but for His. And we think, well, if we follow this path, if we choose that door, isn't it going to mean that we're missing out on our God-given potential? Remember, friends, that pride goeth before the fall. And who's to say Who's to say whether by aiming higher, you might not end up lower? Who's to say that by seeking after that promotion, you might not get it, but then mess it up and lose your job? Or you get it and you do well, but it destroys your family life. Who's to say that by aiming higher, you might not end up lower? And who's to say whether the path of humility might actually mean that you are raised up into greater leadership, advanced, recognized? That which you weren't seeking becomes yours. And you know, therefore, that it is the gift and grace of God, and so you're able to live and to take on that responsibility for His glory. Who is to say? Have in you the same attitude that is also in Christ Jesus. Knowing all this, knowing about Christ's attitude, won't change our life or our manner of life or our fundamental attitude. It's our willingness to be emptied with Him. A journey that began at our baptism as we died with Him, as we were buried with Him, in the hopes of rising with Him. Knowing that Jesus chose the first door doesn't mean that we will. But let me just challenge you this week to ask yourself a question that maybe you've never asked before. If you wake up each day this week and say, how can I empty myself today? How can I seek to serve today? Today, how can I humble myself? Today, how can I become more obedient? Today, how can I die to myself? One thing each day, find one thing, one way to do these. Every day this week, and the next time you walk in the doors of this church, next Sunday, you'll see that your relationship with Christ has begun to change. You'll see that there's something strange about walking through door number one, the door that we've wanted to avoid all of our lives, the door that we think is the worst possible option, is actually the path to peace, to joy, to true love. How can I empty myself today as you did, Jesus? How can I have this same attitude that we found in you, Lord?